What? Is this your theme song?
I like that one a lot. I really dig Pink. I like her.
It's the Mike Novak Show with Heather Fry singing along. And we're going to line two, bring in Guy Sternberg from down in Petersburg, Illinois. How you doing, Guy?
Hey, Mike. We are drier than heck down here. I've been hearing you've been getting all sorts of rain, even stealing ours, but I have to talk to you about that.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you go out east?
Oh, boy.
Get some of that.
I wish we could relieve them about 3 or 4 inches of their rain. Boy,
yeah, you could. Has it really been that dry down there?
Oh, we've had three rains totaling less than 3/4 of an inch since the 1st of July.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And, you know, a guy is just a stone's throw from, you know, New Salem way, that area down there, if you've ever been to that part of the state. And Star Hill is his own arboretum down there. And, you know, how, with the dryness, how has that affected your trees on the property?
Well, you know, it's rough, but we did have ample rains through June, and that helped a lot. A couple of these really drought years, you know, when it doesn't rain from March until December, it seems, for 12 years in a row. This year, it's really dry now, but a lot of plants got established, got their early spring, you know, root growth done before this happened. So we're watering the new things. The herbaceous stuff is about to give up the ghost. The lawn is long since turned into the Sahara Desert, but most of the trees are still hanging on okay. We just need some pretty bad right now.
And, of course, the full name is Star Hill Forest Arboretum of Illinois College. I know that you've added the of Illinois College to it now.
Yes, well, we're now in trust to the college, and it is the college's arboretum, so why not broadcast that?
Why not? And I'm glad that you have that. Now, the point is, though, you wrote to me, and the headline is in big, bold letters. It says, Emergency Tree Alert. And you're talking about something called Thousand Cankers Disease, or TCD, of black walnut. Well, tell us a little about it. Why is it so serious?
Well, it's brand new. It has no cure that we know of. You know, this is a new thing that was just discovered basically about, I think, in 2008, about 3 years ago. Down in the Southwest and Arizona. And
you
Colorado.
Mean discovered in general or
yeah.
Just in this country?
No, just in general. Nobody really knew about this thing. It was attacking in a minor way an obscure walnut species that grows in some desert canyons in Arizona, New Mexico, and down in Mexico. And it's unique because it's a combination. It's a little beetle about the size of a grain of salt. And a fungus spore that the beetle carries. And when the beetle, it's called the walnut twig beetle, it actually attacks walnut branches, you know, maybe the size of a broom handle to your wrist. And it bores in there, and as it does, it releases these spores, and the spores make a little canker that spreads to the size of a coin around part of the stem. And with the Arizona walnut species, the canker would be so small, it would just be like a mosquito bite. It wouldn't be any big deal. But with black walnuts, there's no resistance. This canker just spreads, and they coalesce and girdle branches. And this wasn't a big issue because black walnuts didn't grow out west. Well, of course, people started planting them in yards and in seed orchards and in plantations and so forth. And the beetle and its disease found black walnuts out there. And Boulder, Colorado, I know, is one area. There were others. Where back in 2008, they first started seeing dead walnut trees and wondered what was going on, and they finally found out what this was. And everybody thought, well, okay, it's bad enough, it's going to kill all their black walnut, but at least they can't get out here to the eastern part of the country because they can't cross the Great Plains. You know, it's going to just die out. The little tiny beetle can't fly more than a few feet.
Au contraire, because we humans have ways of transporting things all over the planet.
No kidding. Aren't we a wonderful species? Well, last year it was discovered that probably a decade earlier, but it was discovered that there is a population of these things in Knoxville, Tennessee, where someone probably brought a burl or some gunstock wood or nursery stock or whatever from out west. And so that jumps this natural barrier. Now it's in Knoxville. Then it was reported in Richmond, Virginia a few weeks ago, and then just 2 weeks ago it was found in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So bing, 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 it's just popping up everywhere.
You know, if you look at the maps of Emerald Ash Borer, you know, it's interesting because you see those hot spots.
Exactly.
And then they just, and if you look at 2 or 3 years ago, the few hot spots, and then you look now and you can see they just pop up all over the place. So this is going to happen with this too, I take it.
Picture this scenario. Back a dozen years ago or so when they first found Emerald Ash Borer in Detroit, what if we had said, okay, folks, anybody who's caught hauling ash wood is going to get shot on site, their vehicle gets confiscated, we burn their house, and we sell their children off as slaves. You know, you wouldn't have Emerald Ash Borer as a problem. But nobody was serious enough
to do that. You're right. What's wrong with us?
Yeah, well, you know, why can't we be barbarians? Well, yeah, seriously, we need to set up, and this is where I think we need your listeners to help. The state of Illinois needs to be persuaded that we need to set up an external quarantine. You close the barn door first before this thing gets in here. And if it is in here already, it may be a couple of isolated populations. The Natural History Survey is looking for those now, if there are any. But in the meantime, all the states around us practically have set up quarantines to keep walnut from being shipped through their states. You can't ship it through Indiana. You can't ship it through Missouri, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and it goes on and on. There's 10 or 12 states all around us.
Why are we so slow to respond?
I have no idea. The State Department of Agriculture is waiting for the statewide survey to see if and where it is in Illinois, and then they will set up internal quarantines to keep it in, you know, Cook County or Lake County or Menard County or wherever. Well, my point is we don't know that it's even here yet. Chances are reasonable that it's not here yet. Let's keep it out. You know, set up a quarantine at the border. Make the penalty severe enough that people pay attention and tell them why. You know, tell them that this is a $1 billion walnut industry. This is wildlife habitat. This is a total dictator of what happens in forest ecosystems where walnut is present because of jugalone. You know, it changes the composition of the entire forest. And without walnuts, you're going to have chaos. And nobody.
You know, that's a really good point, and you need to explain that further because a lot of people don't understand. People who have black walnut trees in their yards know that they cannot grow certain plants under them because of this chemical. Yeah, you pronounce it jugalone? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, jugalone. It's a substance that's emitted or emitted from the roots mostly, and it is a little bit in the funnel leaves and things too. But this is an allelopathic or a growth retardant substance that affects certain plants. And, you know, pines and rhododendrons, tomatoes, and all sorts of things die under black walnut trees. A lot of other plants have their growth suppressed, but turf grass thrives. So walnut, if you can get rid of the walnuts themselves, black walnut is the ideal lawn tree. It leaves out late in the spring, so your grass can get a good start. It loses leaves early in the fall, so the fall regrowth of the grass is unimpeded by dense shade. It kills the weeds in your lawn. It was just perfect.
You know, that's interesting. Does it kill most of the lawn weeds that we're familiar with?
It will suppress them. I have seen tree walnut groves in farm pastures where, on the other side of the house where there aren't walnuts, you see dandelions and spurs and all sorts of things under the walnut trees. And these farmers, all they do is mow. They don't fertilize. They don't water. They don't do anything. All you see is turf grass.
So not only does it suppress the weed growth, but you think it also stimulates turf grass?
Well, I've seen studies that show that tall fescue thrives on jugalone. I mean, it eats it for lunch.
Huh.
And I don't know the chemistry behind it, and you'd have to ask, you know, crop scientists about that more. But the thing is, black walnut, whether it's in turf or whether it's in the natural forest, does affect the composition of the forest canopy, the understory, the herbaceous plants. And our wildlife and other plants have evolved with black walnut for, you know, 10,000 years since the last glaciers went away, and we have a relatively stable ecosystem out there that's a walnut-governed ecosystem. And once these trees are gone, and if we let it in here, they're going to be gone. We have no way to stop this beetle from inoculating a tree. We can spray to kill the beetle, but by the time the beetle takes a bite of the tree and eats the poison, he's also injected the spores.
Uh-huh.
So right now we have no way to stop this. But my point is, let's get the quarantine in place. Let's keep this disease. If we can keep the disease from being brought in by humans, it's going to take at least a half a century to get here by nature from someplace like Knoxville, Tennessee. That gives us 50 years worth of research. That gives us 50 years to mature some existing walnut plantations, and at least people don't lose, you know, millions of dollars on their investment for harvesting these trees, because they will mature without the disease being here. Once we get it here, it'll kill a walnut tree in a few years, and by the time you notice walnut trees dying, the beetle's already here by the billions. They reproduce like rabbits, and they are all over the place, and there's no way to contain them. You can't treat them like you do Emerald Ash Borer. You can't treat them like you do the Shelm disease. There is no one thing that you can use.
Really? We have no systemic approach to it?
No. Have you seen that the trailers for that movie Contagion, where you've got the disease.
Yeah.
That's basically, this is walnut contagion. You know, there is nothing you can do about it other than try to keep the beetles away that bring it. And wherever you see a beetle, I've talked to Whitney Cranshaw, who first discovered and described this, and he says that wherever the beetle is there, the fungus is always there. Wherever the fungus is there, the beetle is always there. They're almost like a lichen, whether you have an algae and a fungus that are growing together. It's almost like a single conglomerate species. So where you have the beetle, you're going to have the disease.
Wow. And I think, and by the way, we're talking to Guy Sternberg from Star Hill Forest Arboretum of Illinois College. And I think some people just, when they have a black walnut tree, they say, well, what a nuisance. I can't grow certain things under it. But what you're saying is the juglone in the soil prevents certain weeds from getting out of control, so that if we remove those trees, we're going to change the ecosystem in ways that we can't even imagine.
Yeah, and your urban ecosystem, and more importantly, the forest reserves and the parks and the wildlands, you know, you're going to change what's happening with wildlife food plants. Who knows where this is going to be going once we get this in there, once the disease is gone out. Now, people need to know that they can do a couple of things. First of all, everybody, please contact your local state representative, senator, contact the governor's office. You know, tell them to force the Department of Agriculture to institute an immediate external quarantine that has teeth. You know, for when you have a problem in the barn, first you close the door and lock it, and then you count your horses, right? Well, close the door at the border. Try to keep this thing out of here. If we find that it's already here in a couple of places, deal with that by internal quarantines like we do with emerald ash borer. But right now, if you want to move walnuts, walnut wood, walnut seedlings, signwood, you know, anything like that across the Midwest, the corridor is through Illinois, because the states north and south of us and east and west of us, except for Kentucky, Illinois, and Iowa, that's the corridor where all the contaminated walnut is going to go unless we stop it.
What about walnuts themselves? Can they be contaminated?
As far as I know, the nuts, if they're dehusked, certainly are free, because the disease did not get into the nuts, and the beetles are borers into the branches, not into the nuts. And we need to talk to some people who have studied this more, and they're out in Colorado now, because that's where the disease was first described and became a problem.
Well, this is where we need to have a link of some sort where people can go, because I know you sent me a PDF, and what I should do is, excuse me, I should post it and put a link to it.
That'd be great. But if you post that PDF, that was a circular that I made for downstate Illinois, and I've got my own name as contact. You know, find someone else to put in there as a local contact.
Well, we need to get this up online someplace so we can get people. I guess it's me. I guess I got to put it up on my website. And
you're certainly reaching a ton of people, and a ton of people who care and who are going to try to do something about this.
That's why they named the show after you. You know.
Yeah. That's right.
Was that it?
That was right.
The other's not so dumb. Well, anyway, the three things people can do are number one, you know, persuade our government agencies to do their job and quarantine this and block it. And you can always tweak a quarantine later. But if you say, okay, no walnut crosses Illinois borders, if you cross a $10,000 fine or we confiscate your vehicle or you know, I don't care, we murder your children, do something that makes it matter to them.
Give them a free puppy and an espresso. The kids.
Yeah, that'll work.
That and then send them home.
And some chocolate. And then secondly, you know, the Illinois Cooperative Agriculture Pest Survey Program, which is run through the Illinois Natural History Survey, is currently doing a survey asking anybody who sees walnuts that have any sign of dieback or problems that is not known to be caused by construction damage or something else, contact them. And they will check and see if it's present, and they can either mark it as positive or negative, but they need to know about it.
Let me mention that you give the symptoms here on that PDF, and premature yellowing of leaves or twig dieback, especially in the top of the tree, canopy thinning where sections of the leafy canopy are thin or missing, tiny exit holes the size of sugar grains. Now, most people are not going to be able to see that, but you know, if you're used to looking for emerald ash borer, then you might see something like this too.
And the other thing is, if you've ever seen powder post beetles, you know, the little tiny shot holes, that's the type of, and you're going to, if you find one, you're going to find a lot of them. You find a branch that's showing dieback, you look for it, and you're going to see one of these every half.
Yeah, because you're looking on the branches for this, not on the bark.
Exactly.
And coin-sized dark spots of decaying tissue under the bark of branches, seen only, you got to peel it back to see it.
Right.
And suckering or epicormic branching in the lower part of the tree. Describe that.
Yeah, well, it's similar to what you see in the later stages of emerald ash borer, where the tree starts to die back and tries to regrow from latent buds lower down. This doesn't always happen with walnuts, but a lot of, if you do see that, that's a sign that you need to pay attention to. But the big thing is anytime they see any of these symptoms, or especially if it's a combination of symptoms, and they can't identify the cause as being a lightning strike or bulldozer blight or something else, they need to contact the pest survey. And I've got an address. Well, the address is right there on the flyer. If they just send them a postcard or give them a call.
To the Illinois Cooperative Agriculture Pest Survey.
Right.
That is Illinois Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey, 826 South Oak Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Yes, Heather?
We have a tweet asking, how can we check our walnut trees ourselves at home to see if they have the beetle or fungi?
Well, that would be the way, is take a look at them if you see anything going wrong. Now, keep in mind, too, that a lot of walnut trees defoliate early. They get a very common disease called walnut anthracnose, which just makes the leaves give up the ghost a couple weeks earlier than they should. That's nothing serious. So you may be seeing a lot of false alarms. But I want to also give you a person's name who is up there in your area in Villa Park who is working on this survey up there in northern Illinois.
Who's that?
Her name is Lindsay Evanyi, and that's L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. Last name is I-V-A-N-Y-I. She's the lead survey technician up there. And what I'll do is I'll give you her phone number offline. Maybe you can check with her and see if she wants her phone number broadcast.
Yeah, why don't you send that to me, Guy, and then because when I post this, it's going to be really good to have a contact person.
Yeah, and she would be it. And you can reach her at 2200 Ovaltine Court, number 2213 in Villa Park, or I'll give you her phone number.
I'll tell you what, why don't you just send this all to me? Send this all to me in an email, and then and I'll post it.
Okay. And downstate, the state coordinator is Kelly Estes, and she's over in Champaign. And either one or anybody in the Natural History Survey, if they know somebody there, would they could forward it along.
We also had an email, or rather a Facebook post here. Oh, no, a tweet. That was it. Can commercial nurseries have restrictions put on them? Is this done with these sorts of things?
I think the answer is yes, but it's more important that we stop the wood, the gun stock blanks, the burls that people are turning into walnut bowls, the lumber, because when you have a freshly dead tree and the wood is not kiln dried or otherwise processed to kill these things, that's where you're going to get the majority of action. Now, yeah, you need to stop the walnut seedlings and grass and so forth too from being moved around the state, and especially from out of state, and really especially from Tennessee, Virginia, and Pennsylvania, where it's known to be contaminated already.
Mm-hmm.
And these are matters for our state legislators and the governor's office and the Department of Agriculture to work out, and they can follow the state of Pennsylvania. State of Pennsylvania just discovered this, I think, 2 weeks ago. Immediately, like that week, they had a quarantine in place. We've known about this since last winter. We've known it was in Knoxville, Tennessee, since last March. Our state still has not done a darn thing. They're sticking their head in the sand and just waiting for the survey to be complete. Well, that's the internal quarantine where you stop and moving from county to county is a second step. The first step is close the doors at the border.
Yeah.
Don't let it come in from Kentucky. Don't let it come in from Iowa. Indiana and Missouri already have their quarantine. We're safe there. Wisconsin has its quarantine. Everybody else has their quarantine. But we need to get on the stick immediately. This can't wait.
That's Guy Sternberg. We're talking about 1,000 cankers disease of black walnut. I will post something on my website, and you and I will be talking about this again.
Mike, thanks for spreading the word, and I hope everybody can get a hold of the legislators or anybody they know in government and force this issue. It's really time critical.
You sound very serious about this.
I am. This is something that we've never seen before. This makes Dutch elm disease and emerald ash borer look like puppies because we can treat those, at least in someone's yard. We cannot treat this.
Yikes. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Guy.
Thank you for your help, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.